look in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And again, thank you for being in the house of God, and I'm glad the Lord has given us life and strength and the ability to be in the house of God one more time. Amen. And I tell you, one of these days, these old bodies are going to wear out and we may not get to come back, or we may go by the grave that may get us, or Jesus may come. Amen. Rapture us out. But I know this, while I have the opportunity to be here, I want to be in the service, be in my heart, worshiping the Lord. Amen. Putting my all into it. Amen. And I pray you've come to worship, come to hear from the Word of God today. And if you have, the Lord's got something for you this morning. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you're able to stand this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Lord began stirring these verses in my heart several days ago, and I sure want to be obedient, preach what the Lord's laid upon us for this hour. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity one more time this side of heaven to gather your people in your house. Oh, Father, I pray for a little while you'd help me just to have my mind, my heart, I wrapped around the scripture for just a little while today. Oh, Father, I need your touch. I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost if I'm to preach this morning. Father, we ask you for that one that's lost, that the sweet Spirit of God, I convict and draw and they'd be saved. Lord, there's many here today with multiple different needs. And Lord, I'm glad that you're able to meet every need in this place this morning. Help your people. And I pray above everything, my heart desires to exalt your name before this congregation this morning. And Lord, everything you do will praise you and will thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse 3 this morning where the Bible said, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I want to preach out that latter part of that verse for just a few minutes this morning on the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Brother Paul is writing this second letter to the church at Corinth, the church that's had problems and troubles. And as he opens up this book, he reminds him about God's grace and the peace of God. And then he says that he is the God of all comfort. I'm glad today that in the midst of all that comes or goes in our life, that God is present, that God is our comforter today. I begin looking at these verses. There's three things I want to share with you out of these verses, and I'll be done. First of all, we find in verse 4, he personally comforts. For the Bible said, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. I'm glad that God is a personal God. Hey, I'm glad he's not a God that is far off, but he is a God who is nigh, who is near to his children today. Oh, we find that he said that he's the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Now, that word comfort is an interesting word, and the word comforted, here's what it means. It means to call to one side. It means to console, to encourage and strengthen, to be a solace, and it means to admonish and exhort. Hey, it's good to know when you're in the time of trial that the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm glad he calls us when we're brokenhearted. He calls us when we are in a time that we don't really know what's going on. But he's the God of all comfort who comforts us today. Hey, you take a child that falls. Hey, that parent sees that it's hurt, calls and said, come. And that child come, and you pick the child up. And you comfort, you console that child. That's what the Lord does for us. I'm glad that he calls us to himself when we're hurt and when we're broken. And he helps us today. Oh, friend, let me stress this too, and you listen to this. I love our King James Bible. There is nothing wrong with your Bible. You don't need a new one. You say, well, the these and thous, oh, that ain't what's bothering you. It's all this book's got to say that's tearing your nerves up. You say, but preacher, all this ETH business, oh, it's wonderful. You see, this word comforteth. That ETH at the end of that word means again and again. Oh, yeah. You see, it ain't just one time he'll comfort you, but over and over and over again. Well, the Lord come where you are and console. I give solace. I give words of encouragement. Oh, friend, I'm glad to tell you he is the God of all comfort, and he personally comforts us. Oh, I got thinking about this. Notice when he comforts us. Not what this word comfort means, but look at when he comforts. It said that who comforted us in all of our tribulation. Notice the power of a little two-letter word in this phrase. Who comforted us in all our tribulation. You understand something today. He is not going to keep you from all tribulation. He ain't going to keep you from all heartache. But he did say this, I'll comfort you in your tribulation. Oh, friend, when your world's spinning out of control, right in the midst of that, you're going to find the Lord out there to comfort, there to aid, there to help you in the time of trouble. That word tribulation in that verse is pretty strong, and it covers a wide variety of things. The word tribulation means pressure. Hey, when the pressure of life is on, I'm glad he's a God of all comfort. Hey, there's multiple needs here today. I was praying a moment ago, and I mean that. See, your problem is heavy and serious, but so is everybody else's problem here today. There's people sitting on the pews this morning under great pressure. Whether it's pressure at work, pressure in your home, pressure financially, there's pressure. There's that which builds upon you and pulls down upon you. Hey, the word tribulation means pressure. Hey, but it also means this, oppression. Hey, I'll tell you something. There are demonic forces in this world. Don't you ever think that the spirit world is the figment of someone's imagination. Don't you ever think that there is not a real battle spiritually, for there are demons that are loose on planet Earth this very day. Hey, for the child of God, I remind you, you can never be devil possessed. That's right. Why can't a Christian be possessed by a devil? Because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. You're not an empty house. You are a filled house. Amen. But though you cannot be possessed, you can be oppressed. Hey, I got news for you. That's what's going on with a lot of folks' nerves today. It's demonic oppression. The devil gets some things on your mind and begin to weigh, and man, it seemed like he can't get your thoughts clear. It seemed like there's just an oppression. You're down and you're defeated and discouraged. It's that oppression upon you. Amen. There is such a thing as demon oppression for the children of God. Oh, yeah. That word tribulation also means this, affliction. Boy, that's with afflictions today.
That's right. Man, physical afflictions, physical things going on in their life. Afflictions, it also means distress. You ever had the time you're stressed out? Hey, look around at you just a minute. Hey, a lot of folk in the same boat you're in. Amen. We're all at times stressed. We're so pressured and so oppressed and so afflicted. Sometimes we are de-stressed. Let me say also that word means anguish. That's pretty serious hurt, anguish. Burdened, it means burdened. And you experience times in your life that you're burdened. Amen. Hey, that word also means persecution. Hey, God's people are not well-loved in this world. Amen. Now, in America, we still have it good. We really do. We are beginning to see signs of some things on the horizon that are going to get kind of tough for us. Are you listening to me? But there are Christians in other countries this morning who are suffering great persecution. Amen. Hey, let me just say something right here. If you'd go to the country of India and you'd preach a gospel message and present Christ and say Christ is God, do you know they would accept that message? If you say Christ is God. But it's when you say Christ is the only God, that's where the division. You see, they got many gods they believe in. They don't mind adding Christ to the list of their gods. Are you listening to me? But for a man to declare he is the only God and the only way of salvation, if a person accepts that, they suffer great persecution today. Hey, there's people in communist countries, socialist countries, who have suffered great persecution, because they believe God and they serve God. Amen. That word tribulation also means trouble. It also means to be in a strait. And if you're not familiar with that term, have you ever heard the terminology, the phrase, between a rock and a hard place? Man, sometimes you get there. You get in that hard place in your life. Well, the Bible said that when you get in these kinds of places, when you're suffering oppression, oppression and affliction, distress, anguish, burden, and persecuted, trouble between a rock and a hard place, he said he'll come to you personally and comfort you in the midst of all that. Hey, friend, that's the good news from a far country this morning. Hey, it may be rough right now, but thank God he knows who you are and where you are, and he comes alongside to aid you. Oh, friend, I'm glad in our tribulation he calls us to his side and comforts us. Oh, we see personally comforts. Hey, I will say this. Thank God for fellow believers, but I say this, thank God for the voice of God. Amen. I'm going to deal with fellow believers right now in a second. They are important. But thank God for the voice of God today. Oh, friend, he personally comforts. Number 2 in verse 4. He has a purpose in comfort. And look at this. Who kept us in all our tribulation. Here it is. Here's the purpose. Why would God even comfort us? Why would God take time for us? He said, who kept us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Hey, he comforts us where we can comfort one another. Amen. Now, I want to say something. I've learned this through the years of pastoring. I try to choose my words real carefully when I talk to people. When people, especially in times of crisis, times of death, times of uncertainties at hospitals, I'm very careful what I say to them. You say, why, preacher? Because I don't have any intention of using the words, I understand what you're going through. Because if I've never been through it, how in the world can I understand what somebody's going through? Amen. Hey, we all mean well through the years when we've used that term. Oh, I understand. I'm praying. I understand what you're going through. Really? Amen. But you know what? Ain't it amazing how God has helped somebody with a situation just like yours, and at the right time, the right place in your life, you cross paths with them, and they can console you, for they have been there. Amen. Hey, he said he comforts us that we can comfort somebody else in the family of God. I thought about this is what's been stirring in my heart right here for days. I've seen that in action many times at church. I have. Through the years, I remember years ago when I was a pastor in another state, man, there's a couple in my church, and they're faithful to be at church, but their son got away from God, and he went with some friends to the beach, and he drowned while they was at the beach. I'll never forget that Saturday morning, as long as I live, my phone rang from that husband and said, "Preacher, I'm taking my wife to the doctor, and we're going to tell her there." For their boy wasn't but 21. I'm going to tell you something. As a pastor, my mind, my heart began to race. I thought, what am I going to say? Because I've never experienced that. Amen. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I jumped up, ran out of the house, and I was on my way and would have been there before the doctor told her, but I was driving so fast, the highway patrolman turned around, blue lighted me, and asked me what's going on. I told him he let me go, and by the time I got there, they had already told that mama, and she was denying what the doctor was saying. But when I walked in, I'll never forget her words. It's got to be true. The preacher's here. Are you listening to me? Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's some hard places in life sometimes. I'll never forget that. I tell you what, listen, at that receiving of friends, I believe I heard a sample of the great white throne judgment. I heard such weeping and moaning. Other young people, I preached to probably 200 young people at funeral that day. I'll never forget how folk were so brokenhearted. That mama was so brokenhearted. She is on the verge of a total mental breakdown. Are you listening to me? You say, "Preacher, what did that do to your heart?" It tore my heart out of me because I had no words that I could say to her outside this trust God. Are you listening to me? But I'm going to tell you something. I watched that mama struggle for weeks on down the road after that. Oh, she cried all the time, brokenhearted. And then one Sunday we came in, and my family, we was up singing, and we began to sing, "Lord, You're the best thing." And that woman jumped up and went to shouting and began praising God. And I thought, man, something's happened to her. I said, something has changed in her life. A few days later, gathered at the fellowship, Paul, I watched her. She was smiling. She hadn't smiled in a while. And I sat down at her table on purpose, said, "How are you?" She said, "I'm doing okay. Preacher, you might be wondering what went on." I said, "I want you to tell me." I said, "I want you to tell me what God has done in your life." She said, "Preacher," now some of you ain't going to believe this, what she told me. I ain't got no reason to doubt her. She said, "Preacher, you know how heartbroke I was." She said, "But just the other night, God let me have a dream, and I saw my boy in that dream." And said, "Oh, he didn't speak. He just looked at me and smiled and waved at me." When he turned around, she said, "The peace of God flooded my heart, and it's been all right since that night, preacher." Oh, you say, well, you don't have to believe it. It just happened for her. Amen. But here's where I'm going with this. 4 or 5 years later, I have another 20-year-old that dies unexpectedly in the same church. I mean, this month, same way I showed up. It's true, the preacher's here. You don't know how that does the heart of a preacher. Oh, it grips a preacher's heart. Oh, and I remember how broken she was. But I remember in that funeral home that night when that mama, the 21-year-old, came in there and they locked eyes and they met and they hugged. What went on right there, preacher? One had been comforted by God, knew how that other mama felt, and began to comfort that mama in the midst of her trial. That verse become alive in my heart that day. I'm telling you, when God brings you through something, it could be just to help somebody else down the road. Amen. Hey, there is purpose behind all in life. He comforts us where we can help somebody else. Oh, I'm telling you today, you may not understand your trial, but God can use it one day. Amen. Hey, we find he personally comes. We see he has a purpose in coming. Number three, in verse 3 and verse 5 and 6, he is praised for comforting. Notice in verse 3, how it starts. Look what Paul said. He said, blessed be God. You understand this is a, these are words of admiration. These are words of praise. Hey, right now, he's saying, blessed be God. Hey, Paul knew something about tribulation. Paul knew something about hardship. Paul knew something about loss. He said, but blessed be God. He said, he is the God of all comfort, and he'll comfort you like he's comforted me. Hey, he said, blessed be God. But verse 5, see, look at it. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. What's going on in verses, preacher? God is being praised for how he has comforted Paul and others before. You again, he comforts us and we can comfort somebody else. Listen to me this morning, church. Do you really pay attention in testimony meeting? Huh? Are you just kind of overwhelmed by the atmosphere and you admit, do you hear folks say, I was just about going under and God came where I was and helped me? What are they doing? They are praising God for the comfort they found in the midst of their tribulation. By the way, I want to help you right here. When God comes through when there is no way, you ought to be sure every time you get up to say, I want to thank God for coming through. Amen. Not down the road. Right then, begin to say, I want to tell you what God has done in my heart. Amen. Hey, he is praised for our comforting. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The way I know God's, I know what he's done in my life. Hey, I want to be real sure that I brag on him. Amen. Hey, we all have those times our world crashes in. And we may be weak or have little faith at time in our Christian life. But ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be sure that we let the world around us know how worthy our God is to be served and praised. Amen. Hey, for all that he's done in your life, you look at your life. How many times has he come by and comforted you? Huh? How many times has he made a way when there was no way? Amen. Hey, he is the God of all comfort. Hey, I'm glad I know him. By the way, I want to say this in all these verses. He is writing to folk that know God. The world don't know anything about this. You realize that? Oh, if you're lost today, you've got no comfort. That's right. Hey, you may get a big crowd around you. You may get them all laughing. You may get drunk. You may get high. You may do a lot of things. But sometime that buzz has got to wear off, and that crowd's going to leave you. And who's going to be there to comfort you? Amen. But as a child of the living God, when there ain't a single soul inside around you, boy, that the things of this world are beating upon you and putting pressure upon you, I'm glad that he is a God that is nigh and a God that comforts today. Amen. Hey, I don't know what you're going through, and I can't change it and I can't fix it. But I've been told by the Holy Ghost days ago, you remind them of the God of all comfort. Amen. Hey, we need him. Can't do nothing without him. Hey, no way to get through life without the Lord. Amen. He is the God of all comfort. When the Lord has comforted your heart, it's not hard to praise him. When the Lord has comforted your heart, it's not hard to tell it. Amen. I'm glad that he is the God of all comfort. Father, take the message, use it for thy glory today. I've tried my best to preach what you've been stirring in me for days now. Lord, I don't know the need of the people, but Lord, you knew before they even knew they had a need. And Lord, we praise you for your goodness to us. Oh, Lord, help in this invitation. Save that soul that's lost. Help the people of God as they're going through this life. And we'll praise you and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed today. Is there one here? Be honest, preacher, I'm lost. I need the Lord. I'm going to hell and I know it. Pray for me today. I see that young hand and that young hand. Somebody else, preacher, I'm lost. I know it. Pray for me today. I don't want to go to hell. How many of you that are saved, being honest with yourself, say, preacher, I'm saved, but I'm going to be honest, I'm going through something right now. And I sure need the prayers of God's people. Amen. Multiple needs all around us. I'm glad he's the God of all comfort. Let's stand while we sing. This altar, help is just a few feet away from you. Don't leave burdened down like you came in. Don't carry the same load out that you carried in. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let the Lord help you today while we sing.